The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
Fuel.
Nominal.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Nominal.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came, into logbook.com's escape pod.
November 22nd.
The logbook.com's escape pod is still in flight, exploring the futuristic, the fantastic, and the unmistakably geeky. I'm Earl Green, and for the next few minutes, I'll guide you through what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1967, an unmanned test of the Soviet moon vehicle didn't go as planned. The launch of the L-1, a modified version of the Soyuz vehicle intended for a flight around the moon and back to Earth, failed when the second stage of the massive Proton KD rocket shut down just seconds after ignition. The escape tower to pull the unmanned L-1 capsule away from the booster fired, but resulted in a landing rough enough that it might not have been survivable if anyone had been aboard. The Soviets were no closer to beating NASA to a flight around the moon. Pilot Wiley Post, the first to go around the world in an airplane by himself, was born today in 1898. Robert Vaughn, co-star of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., was born in 1932. Director and Monty Python animator Terry Gilliam was born in 1940. Astronaut Guyon Bluford, the first African-American in space, was born in 1942. Jamie Lee Curtis was born in 1958. On this day in 1963, Brave New World author Aldous Huxley died, as did C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia stories. Also in 1963, the man who set America on a course for the moon, President John F. Kennedy, was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Comic artist C.C. Beck, famous for his work on the early Captain Marvel comics, died today in 1989. A Clockwork Orange writer Anthony Burgess died in 1993. In 1996, Mark Leonard, the actor who gained fame for a handful of appearances as Sarek, father of Star Trek's Mr. Spock, died.
I have been accused of many things in my life. Never an excess of emotion. I wish to assuage any fears the captain may have regarding my capabilities. I believe there is a test for Bendai syndrome. I will take it immediately.
And in 2007, the first showrunner of Doctor Who, Verity Lambert, died, a day before the 44th anniversary of the series premiere.
Doctor Who was a really wonderful program to work on because it had a format, but it was such a flexible format, you could do almost anything you wanted.
In 1968, depending on who you asked, it was the most scandalous Star Trek yet.
I'm so frightened, Captain. I'm so very frightened.
That's the way they want you to feel. Makes them think that they're alive.
I know it. But I wish I could stop trembling.
Try not to think of them. Try.
I'm thinking of all the times on the Enterprise when I was scared to death. I would see you so busy at your command. And I would hear your voice from all parts of the ship. And my fears would fade. And now they're making me tremble. But I'm not afraid.
Featuring the first interracial kiss on American television, the episode Plato's Stepchildren was preempted in some areas of the South where station managers refused to show it. In 1979, Buck Rogers had big trouble on his hands in a small package.
You know, Hieronymus, I'm going to be real sorry to see you go back to Genesia. You're the first person I met for my own time. Probably last.
He's sure the shortest.
You want to say that again, transistor face? What did he say?
He was apologizing, Mr. President.
No, I wasn't.
Gary Coleman guest starred in the Cosmic Whiz Kid episode of Buck Rogers in the 25th century. In 1997, Mike and the Bots took on the Time Chasers.
Now for some good old-fashioned 50s heavy petting.
Shouldn't he be, like, piloting the plane?
Nick, what is that?
That means I like you.
What is it?
I don't know.
Where are we?
Well, it says September 25th.
2041.
But we were here. It doesn't look like that.
My God. There's something very wrong here.
There's no food courts.
Looks like there was a war.
You'll have to take my word for it. We can't afford to show it.
I run a diagnostic on the computer. Everything is fine.
Dilithium crystals are fine and everything
else. 2041. Something's happened. The future's been changed. We gotta find out what happened.
Did you bring your ray gun?
Well, no. Mommy and I... Gross.
So for some reason, Vermont became the epicenter of the dystopia.
Ben and Jerry's was the key to the Armageddon.
A low-budget sci-fi B-movie filmed entirely on location in Vermont, Time Chasers reportedly never broke even until it was featured in an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000. In 2000, Harry Kim was finally in command and found out that sitting in the big chair isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Our chances of getting home without your help aren't very good. We'd appreciate any assistance you could offer.
I hope you understand. I need to give this some thought. You've put me in a difficult position, Ensign. We could use the help the Inari are offering, but if they find out we're aiding their enemy...
I couldn't just stand by and do nothing.
That doesn't justify getting involved in somebody else's fight.
What would you have done?
Probably exactly what you did.
I guess I learned from the best.
If this were simply an errand of mercy, I wouldn't hesitate. But the fact is, these people are involved in an interplanetary war.
Captain, I've gotten to know them over the last couple of days. You met Loken. They're scientists, not soldiers.
You've only heard one side of the story.
You've taken sides before. The Borg Resistance? The Vud War?
Those were different circumstances.
You were trying to help people in need. How is this any different?
Have you thought about applying to the Advocate General's office? You'd make a good lawyer.
The Star Trek Voyager episode Nightingale guest starred future Firefly star Ron Glass. And in 2013, one night before the 50th anniversary of the show that inspired it, BBC Two premiered a movie dramatizing the creation of its most successful science fiction series, Doctor Who.
Right, let's talk turkey. I'm not sure about this, not sure at all.
No?
Apart from anything else, I don't want to take on another long run. Had enough of that on the army game. Nearly killed me.
Would you like to
weekly
order some drinks?
Bloody rep.
Yes, sir.
Whose idea was all this? That fella from ITV?
Sydney Newman, yes. But so many people have been at the birth of the thing, we'd be here all day.
Tell me about the characters.
Two school teachers, Ian and Barbara. They're intrigued about one of their pupils, a young girl called Susan. She seems to have impossible knowledge for a girl from 1963. So the school teachers follow her home, but home is a junkyard.
Yes, yes, yes. How do they get about? A flying saucer or something?
Ours is a space and time machine that can blend in with its background.
Oh, you mean it's covered in invisible paint or something?
No. It adapts to suit its environment.
It gets stuck in one shape.
A police box.
Police box?
How gorgeous would that be? An ordinary 20th century object on the surface of an alien planet.
Fantastic.
And the opening titles are like nothing you've ever seen.
Yes.
What about the Doctor himself?
He's something like 600 years old. Looks like a senile old man, but he's tough.
Tough.
Trust me, Bill, you're perfect for it. No one will be able to resist you.
Really think so?
C.S. Lewis meets H.G. Wells meets Father Christmas. That's the Doctor.
Doctor who?
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's over 500-page continuing guide to Doctor Who, Warp 2, is now available in print or ebook form. Catch up on the 2012 and 2013 seasons, spin-off series such as Torchwood, The Sarah Jane Adventures in K-9, and the long-running audio adventures. You can pick up other original books, ebooks, and videos, and hundreds of other titles in the Logbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod will be procedure. The logbook of your escape pod was written and produced by Earl Kane.